Kum Lernen Ablat Gemara. We are up to the Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph. We're talking the sugya of Shnayim Shasu Pturin, and Rabbi Shimon says that even Ze Eini Yoch, still they are Patek, because two people are doing it. The Gemara Sukkah says, Rabbi Shimon says that he can Patek the whole world Min Hadin, that he can somehow or another save everybody from justice from Hashem. So I once heard a beautiful pshat. Why Rabbi Shimon and how was he planning to do it? We had the Gemara Sanhedrin in the last Perek, and when the Gemara talks about over there the Moshel about the blind person and the person who couldn't walk, and they went to steal fruits from a tree, and then when they were caught and they were asked, you know, each one blamed the responsibility on the next one. You know, if he wouldn't have seen it, I wouldn't have stolen it. In other guys, if he wouldn't have walked with me and carried me, I wouldn't have taken it either. So what did they do? They put the person who was who couldn't walk on top of the person who was blind, and they punished them both together. So the neshama and the goof have an argument. The neshama says, "I did avedis. I'm a neshama. I can't do any physical avedis." And the goof says, "I'm a corpse. It's the neshama that gave life into the avedis." So what does the avedis do? Puts the neshama inside the goof and punishes them. Now the neshama without the goof, and the goof without the neshama cannot survive. It's ze'eni yochel, ze'eni yochel. So everyone else holds that ze'eni yochel, ze'eni yochel, yechayiv. So they're both liable. Reb Shimon holds that even if ze'eni yochel, ze'eni yochel, they both couldn't do it on their own, still they are potter because it's joint. So therefore, that's going to be our excuse when we go to Shemaim. Hakudin aveda, the neshama will, you know, say it's the goof's fault, the goof's the neshama's fault, and therefore zeveze, they'll both be potter. That's why it's Reb Shimon who's going to find them a way out. Okay, up to the Gemara, continuing. Amar, we learned ze yochel was einu yochel. The last thing the Braisa said is, if one person can and one person cannot. By the way, when it says it cannot taste, in order to show him can comment, it doesn't mean what happened. The person is carrying it with his finger, and if he would carry it with his whole hand, he would be able to carry it. But the way he's carrying it right now, it's einu yochel. That's considered einu yochel. All we look is at this particular job. So we learned, if one can and one cannot, everyone holds chayiv. The question is, who is the one who's chayiv in this case? The one who can or the one who can't? Haimon HaMechayiv. Amar Rav Chizkiya said, Zeh Sheyochol, the one who can, obviously, because he could do the whole melacha on his own. Therefore, he's the one who's chayiv. He's Zeh Sheyini Yochol, Maiko Ovid. The guy who couldn't do it on his own, what did he actually add to the whole thing? What did he do? Nothing. Amar Rav Nuna, the Kamesayi Bahadei. What do you mean he can't do nothing? He's helping out. What exactly is Rav Hamnuna's point? Is a big machlekes rishonim, because is Rav Hamnuna saying that the only person who should be chayiv is the einu yochel, and the yochel should go away scot free? I mean, that's what it sounds like. Because right now we think only one person is chayiv, and then Rav Chisda said it's the yochel. Comes Rav Hamnuna and says no, maybe it's the einu yochel. So Tais and all the rishonim ask, what possible svara is there in that? So they want to learn that Rav Hamnuna is saying, who said only one person is chayiv? Maybe they're both chayiv. The Yochel because he did the whole thing, and the Ein Yochel because he helped out, supported. However, there are some Rishonim who say that the question actually is that the Ein Yochel should be liable and not the Yochel. And why is that? Because the Ein Yochel did everything possible that he could have done. Because he just can't do more than that. Therefore, he should be chayiv. The Zei Yochel could have done it without him, could have done it on his own easily. So therefore, if we have to be mechayiv one person here, who should be chayiv? The Ein Yochel. And the other Shayim say, what does it have to do with your effort? It has to do with the outcome. We don't care about effort. We care about outcomes when it comes to Shabbos. Isn't that what Shabbos is all about? And the other Shayim say, no, it's about effort. In fact, some of the Shayim say, why Ze'enu Yochel, Ze'enu Yochel Chayiv, is because each one did as most as they could. And the Ze'yochel, Ze'yochel Potter, because they did not do the most they could. Each one could have done on their own. So each one only put in half an effort. And therefore, they actually argue that in Shabbos, it's not just the outcome, it's also the input. And interesting machlekes. Anyway. So Rav Nuna says, what about the other person supporting? On Malay, he told him the famous words, Misayeya Eimei Mamish. Supporting is Gonishvet. It's not worth anything. Especially the other guy could have done it on his own. So therefore, your support is not adding anything to it. So therefore, you're not liable. This concept that Misayeya Eimei Mamish, Afana Namitanina, we actually Taka learned it. We learned the following. Remember, we learned the Tumas Midras. A Zav touches something, it becomes, you know, the next, you know, a Zav is an Ava Tumah, he touches something, becomes a Rishonah Tumah, and so on. But if a Zav is sitting on something, stepping on something, which is Tumas Midris, then and the weight of the Zav is on it, then the, whatever it is, becomes Tumah, just like the Zav. And we learned there were 10 mattresses, all 10 of them become Tumah, just like the Zav. So what happens if the Zav is sitting on a bed, and the bed has four legs? The Arba Taliyas Tachas Ragla Mitin. Under each leg, you have a material to hold, you know, like a coaster, but a bigger piece of material. Shouldn't make holes in the ground, like a talus. And the din is, so the ragli hamita tmes, the bed, the legs of the bed are tummy, which means the talesim are tummy. Why? If you would take the any leg away, the bed would collapse, which means that every single leg is ze'enu yochel v'ze'enu yochel. None of the legs can carry it on their own. Or even as a group of three, they couldn't do it on their own. And ze'enu yochel v'ze'enu yochel, the din is that the you are chayiv. However, Rav Shimon Metayek, Rav Shimon, remember, said before, ze'enu yochel, enu yochel, you still potter because you have all of this, you have, it's a joint effort. Okay. However, what happens? You're riding on an animal, and they had these cloths and materials underneath the legs of the behemoth. Here it's a different story, because a leg can, an animal can pick up one leg and still stand, remain standing on three legs. You can stand on three. Right, you can stand on three legs. So therefore, since only three legs are carrying it, the fourth leg is not carrying it at all, and we don't know which is the fourth leg. So therefore, it's tight. and this fourth leg is l'chayda. Now, but when you put the leg down, it's supporting. So l'chayda should also be involved. Must be could say, yeah, ein be mamish. And this is a case of, and we're following over here, Rabbi Yehuda, l'ze yochel v'ze yochel. And over here, the fourth leg is not necessary, so it's a Messiah. The three are ze yochel. And the fourth leg, whichever one it is a Messiah. And yet we see that what? That you're not chayiv, that I ain't by mamish. And we don't know which of the three things it's all potter. Freddy Gemara, Vamai, but why? He's explaining his point. Vamai, Hokam, Sayyem, Bahadodi. The fourth leg, each leg is considered a fourth leg and helping out the others. Lav Meshum, you can only come to one conclusion. That means we say, Misayeya ain't by mamish. It doesn't count. No rai for me. If that's your rai, no rai for me. You know why? Because the animal doesn't need the fourth leg at all. It's not even a Messiah. Maybe in other cases, Messiah has. It's like in the case of here, where you're carrying a heavy beam, one guy could do it on his own, another one is just helping out. Maybe it'll be chayiv. The shiny hocha here is different. What? The okra legamri, the fourth leg is suspended in the air. It's not helping at all. It's we're not talking about a case where all four legs are on the ground. The fourth leg can be go up in the air, and when it's up in the air, it's not even supporting. See, if it's not even called a sameya. Now, so what? But many times it keeps the leg down. Of a kivan the zimun okra ha, the zimun okra ha, because so the Gemara asks, okay, so what are you telling me that each leg could be that's the fourth leg, that's not it's not even a level of Messiah because you lift it up and it's gone shvert. Says the Gemara, so what? Since each leg is a suffix, which one it is, halevi, let it be kizava mishapik, let it be like a zov who's sleeping and he turns over in his sleep and we don't know where he ended up, and there within it that we are actually machmir. What's the case over there? The case over there is we have a number, let's say, of benches, or you have a number of money belts lying out and using that as a mattress. So we say, and at night, obviously he turns over constantly in his sleep. So we say it depends how these mattresses, let's say there's five benches, five chairs, or five, let's say, money belts. If the money belts are vertically lined up on top of each other, then since it could be that he turned over in his sleep, all five become tummy. But if we learn, if they are all, vertical, then we don't know if they, If they're lined up vertically next to him, so it means each one is the length of his body, let's say, could be he rolled over each one and he ended up putting his entire weight on each one. But if they are lying horizontally, all five of them, then none of them are carrying most of his body. And midrash means they have to carry most of his weight, most of the zov's weight. None of them. Each one's only carrying a fifth of his body. So even if he tossed and turned in the sleep, he would have turned over. It would have been, over the entire five. But if it would have been vertical, we say that they're all tummy because maybe he ended up on them. So what do we see? When there's a suffix of mishapik, they all become tummy. So the same thing with this animal. Since the three legs that he's always walking on, we should be mitame. Just like the suffix of hamhapik, says the Gemara. Didn't we learn zov shahayimut lahal hesav sol a zov that was lying on five benches el hey pundoy is a five money belts la orkan if they're the length tamein they are tamei why are they tamei because each one is the length of his body and he would have turned over he would have landed on any of them la rachvan if they're in the width they're all horizontal so whenever he turns he was lying on all five which means none of them have the majority of his weight none of the other weight is what is tahidin. Yoshon, and if he's asleep and he's not sure if he turned over, there is talking about he turned over, but at Safi we're not sure if he slept over, if he turned over or not. Mishapich Yoshon Safik Mishapich Alein, it's me, and they're all tummy. They're all tummy. So was he clear from that? What? That we are metami from a Safik. So if we are metami from a Safik, why in the case of the animal are we not metami? You tell me there's one leg that's the fourth leg and it can be suspended in the air. But it's a Safik which of the legs was the fourth leg and which ones he was lying on. So the just like in the case of the benches where Machmer, we say that they're all tummy. Why don't we say the same thing by the leg? Must be in the case of the leg, it's only the fourth leg is only a Masayeya. And it must be because Mamish. Elamish I mean Masayeya ain't by Mamish. We must say because Masayeya ain't by Mamish. That's why the fourth leg is Torah. We don't say it's like a Zov HaMeshapich. So Amar HaPapi Moshe Rav, okay, good. That's not a Raya, but bring another Raya regarding Messiah. Therefore you say it's a good Raya from the animal, but bring more Rayas. Afanan HaMetanina, we actually learned another Raya that Messiah Mamish. Rabbi Yesi says, Hasus Metame Al Yodav. If a sus is standing on all four legs, where does the horse put most of its weight? On his four legs. If a Zov is sitting on top of a horse and he has a talus under the four legs of the horse, they become tummy. If it's a talus on the hind legs of the horse, they don't become tummy because it doesn't put most of his weight on it. And this is what we learned before, that if you have an animal and all four legs and you become tummy, that's not following Rabbi Yesi. Rabbi Yesi holds it's only the four legs by a horse, and by a donkey, hachamoy al raglov, a donkey the other way around, it puts all of its weight on his hind legs. Shemash enes hasus al yadav, the sus puts his weight on the four legs, hachamoy al raglov, and the donkey on his hind legs. The question is, why? How come Messiah, Bahadodi, the hind legs, even in the case of horses, are still supporting, still helping out? They should also become tummy because Messiah, unless we'll say, Messiah ain't been mamish. Lamish and Messiah, just because a support ain't been mamish, is not good enough. It's not considered as if it's helping, and therefore there's no tumor there. Good. Omer Abashi, Afanam, I bring another ayah. Rabbi Lezer says, Ragloi achas ala kli, if one leg is on a kli. In other words, like this, a kohen, when he does his avodah, he has to be standing on the ground. And there should be nothing intercepting him and the ground. And that's how we know by davening, two rights by davening, we have to stand on the ground. And if he does, it could be lund v'shedis ulam, but you have to stand. And to serve Hashem, you have to be standing. And the reason, because the ground of the Beis HaMikdash is holy. So what happens if ragle achas ala kli, one leg is on a vessel, v'ragle achas ala rishpa, one leg is on the ground. Ragle achas ala evin, v'ragle achas ala rishpa, one leg is on a stone, and one leg is on the ground. Roy, this is what we do, we assess. Kol she'ilu yinotel ha'kli, v'tinotel evin. If you remove that utensil, you remove that stone. Yochel elamed aragle achas, he can stand on one foot, avidosik shedek, could succeed as if he's standing on the ground. But l'cheder, the fact is, when he leans on, he has his other foot leaning on the rock, it is supporting him, it's giving, helping him out. The fact is, it's helping out. It's alleviating some of the weight from the other foot on the ground. Must be because Sayeya ain't by mamish. That's another proof that Sayeya by mamish. I'll bring another proof. We learned regarding a kohen avodah kibul biyamin v'smoil misayoto. We learned the word etzba. We had the gemara a few times. Everything has to be done with the right hand. What happens if kibul biyamin, he accepted the blood in the right hand, or besmoil misayata, he has his left hand underneath his right hand, holding it up, helping him carry it. Avidosik shed, his avoid the kosher, is considered as if he did it with his right hand. The left hand is supporting it. It must be because we say, misayaya eimei mamish, supporting it has no substance. Shmamino, it's a valid proof. Amma coming here. We said before we had three opinions. We had Rabbi Yehuda says that Zay Yochel was a Yochel Potter. But if you cannot do it, you're Chayiv. You had Rabbi Shimon that says if two people are doing it jointly, you're always Potter. Then we had Rabbi Meir who says that you're always Chayiv. That if two people did, the fact is you did a Malach, entire Malach, you are Chayiv. Amma, you said before Zay Yochel was a Yochel, Rabbi Meir, Mechayiv, Rabbi Meir holds Chayiv. So if two people carry something together, a loaf of bread, even though each one could have carried on their own, they're both Chayiv. The question is, remember, we learned all along that you need a shear. You need a shear to carry. So we have two people carrying. So how do we understand Rav Meir? Is it as if each one did an entire malacha, so each one needs his own shear? Or are the two now become one unit? And the two become one unit, therefore, one shear is enough for both. Even though when it comes to Karban Chatos, Tosfos before says they have to bring two Karbanos Chatos, but like we live from another place, But how do we view a kondra meyer, zeh yochel, zeh yochel, zeh chayiv? Is it because each one did the entire malacha, so therefore each one needs a share, or is it like the two become one unit and they did one malacha together, and the chayiv for that as well, because we have no reason to be mayited, and one share suffices for both? I think that's the question. Each one needs their own share. Dilma share echel, kol one share sufficient for both. You need a share for each one. The chadva mashir echel, kol one share sufficient for both. Amar apap mishmei derava afanam betinah. We actually learned hayeshev el gabi mita. We learned before, if you're sitting on a bed that has four legs, arba talias tachas arba lagamita, if a zav is sitting on a bed and the four talasim sitting under the four legs, it's tamei. Why? Bipnei she ein yechel lamed al shalosh. You cannot stand on three legs. You need four legs. Now, since we're looking at each leg and we're saying that each leg is a case of Zayin Yachol, one leg cannot do it on its own. So therefore, it's a case of Zayin Yachol. So L'chayda, if you say that each one needs their own share, you should have three Zavim sitting on the bed. Bamai, L'boya Shir Zivul Zev, Shir Zivul Zev. Each leg should have four legs, because we said before, a bed cannot stand stable on three legs. So l'chayda, if each one needs their own share, you should have four legs. Isn't it because you say, and even though this is a case of the ein yachol, the same logic according to the mayor applies to the yachol. That what? That you chayda, if you need a share for each one. And if you don't need a share for each one by the ein yachol, nor do you need a share for each one in the case of the yachol. The idea is that it's one unit, and one share is enough for everybody. I'm not going to be bringing another proof. We know you're not allowed to trap an animal. Tzvi shenichnas lebayis, if a deer wandered into your house, the noel echa b'fanav, one guy sits by the doorway to make sure the deer cannot escape, even though you didn't capture the animal in the first place, it's as if you're trapping the animal in your chayiv. But noel u'shnaim, if two people do it, p'turin. Why are you potter? Because it's shnaim shasu. Two people are doing it together. But if one person could not do it on their own, they had to do it together, chayavim. So this is the case of Ze'eni Yochel. Ze'eni Yochel, they're both chayiv. And the Gemara compares the logic of Ze'eni Yochel by Rabbi Yehuda to Ze'eni Yochel by Rabbi Meir. You know, is it considered one unit, or is it as if each one did the entire melacha? There should be two deers trapped in there, not a half a deer, because otherwise they have one deer, each one is only trapped a half a deer. The two did it together, it's as if it's one unit, and therefore one share is sufficient. Partners steals. Then if you steal an animal and you get caught, you're a ganef, you have to pay double. If you then proceed to shecht it, or you proceed to sell it, then it depends. If it's a sheep, you have to pay four times, and if it's a cow, you have to pay five times. So what happens if Shutfin, two partners together in unison, Shigon, where they stole the Tavchu and they shechted, Chayavin, they are Chayiv. They're both Chayiv. The question is, why are they Chayiv? Liboye, Shir, Tvichel, Azev, Shir, Tvichel, Azev. Each one should have an animal. They have to steal two animals, because otherwise, if each one only shechted half an animal, you're not Chayiv. Or you sold a half an animal, because we learned the Gemara, it has to be full of animal, not a Chatzi behemoth. So they should both be Potter. Must be because they say Shir Echel Kulam, since they both did it together, it's as if they did it as one unit. Ravashi said, I'm bringing another proof. If two people carried out a reed that somebody, you know, a weaver uses, and Ravashi said, because this is the most common kind of reed that they used to use. And this is something they used to use there in the loom, and they used to move the strings apart and so on and help stretch it. Each one should have their own shear. Again, same idea. They have one unit and one shear sufficient. This raya is a shvach one. Maybe it's treated as an ordinary reed. And we learned before, an ordinary reed, how much is it treated like wood? If it's too thick or cracked, and you cannot use it as a quill. And if it's treated as wood, enough wood to cook a light egg where you scramble it and you put it into a fire. So maybe that's what. So therefore, it was enough for that. So the Gemara, Im Ken, Leshmini, Kodam, Dal, Mash, and the Gardi. So she says back, no. Then it wouldn't have said a reed from a Gardi or weaver, just said a reed, which is only for burning. Then the shear would be, you know, to cook eggs. Because as gardi, it's a gardi. Dilma, maybe still the East Bay, Kedei La'arik Mapel, who told you that there's not enough of a shear here? Maybe, Take, there was enough there that you can weave you have enough thread that you can use it for enough thread to weave a little cloth for this and a little cloth for that person. They both could use it to create something, and therefore it's enough of a share for both. Who said there was not enough of a share for both? That proof is not a good proof. Tony Tana Kamed Nachman, we learned Tana Namoda learned before the Nachman, Shnayim Shahitziu Kana Shogardim, to the two people carried a tie, you're a potter. Even though it's Zeyachov, before you're a potter, Israel could not own the potter. But Abshimon Mechayiv, which is hard to understand, if anything, a mayor is Mechayiv. Abshimon holds actually potter. Abshimon is the one who holds that two people do it, even if they couldn't do it on their own, they're potter. So you want to clap your eye, which direction are you heading to? It doesn't make sense. Abshimon is the one who's most potter, Elei Mechayovin. The Tanakam holds Chayiv, which probably means Rameir, and Rabshimon pointed Rabshimon Patas. Mishnah. Now that we finished with Shnayim Shasu, the next sugi is of Melach HaShtich L'Gufa. And Chayin Noisets Atzmei. Now, we don't really have an argument clearly somewhere that Rabbi Yehuda argues in the Mishnah on Melach HaShtich L'Gufa. We have another Shem Eskaven. So Toisha says this is the basis, even though it doesn't mention Rabbi Yehuda's name, we generally know that who argues with Rabshimon. The most common Tanhu Arab Shimon is Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be Rabbi Yehuda. And this is the story. Also, another din that we learned, which is quite interesting, which we learned a few weeks ago, and that is that if you carry something on Shabbos in a utensil, the utensil, you're not chayiv for the utensil, because the utensil, no matter how big it is, and no matter how small the item inside is, the utensil is bottle, is subordinate to that thing inside, and therefore we don't look at the utensil, we look at what's inside. And we said if you carry less than a shear inside the utensil, you're not only potter for the food that you're carrying, for example, but you are also potter for the utensil itself, because the utensil is there only for the food. Says the Gemara, if you carry food, pachas mikasher bekli, less than the full amount. In the keli potter, you're potter not only for the food, but also afala kli. Why? Shaklit feilo, the keli is tuffle to the food inside, secondary to the food inside. Number one. Number two, as a chai, if you carry a living person with meat in a bed on Shabbos, potter. Why are you potter? Because we have a concept called chai noises atzmai. A living thing carries its own weight. So it's like a case of shnayim, according to some, how we learn it is, it's a case of shnayim shasu. You're carrying him, but also the person himself who's alive is carrying himself. And shnayim shasu, potter. And it's a case of zayachal, because the guy, everybody can jump up. So therefore, it's like shnayim shasu and you're potter. That's how some learn. So if you're carrying a living person to bed, you're potter. Not only you're potter for the person, you're also potter af al hamita, also for carrying the bed. Why? Shahamita tfeilo, the bed is tafun. And that's why some people used to, you remember in Israel, I met some people used to push carriages on Shabbos with no aliv, and they used to say, chayno, he says, atzmai. But we'll see the more later, it doesn't apply to infants. And even if it is, it's still awesome to Rabban. We're talking about here potter matayda. What about as hameis b'mita? You carry a corpse on a bed. Here the corpse obviously cannot carry itself and it's much heavier. Then chayib, you're carrying on Shabbos. Now, this is a case of malacha she'ein atzich l'gufa. Why is malacha l'gufa? So Tosfos learns, on the Tzadik Dalet, the famous Tosfos, he learns the definition of a malacha she'ein atzich l'gufa. You're doing a malacha, but not for its ultimate purpose. You're not doing it for the same purpose that was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, when you carried something because you wanted it. Here you're carrying something because you don't want it. That's called a malacha she'ein atzich l'gufa. You're not doing it for the guf, for the same reason they did in the Mishkan. Rashi learns a malacha she'ein atzich l'gufa means a malacha that if you'd rather have avoided in the first place. Now, something negative happened and you're trying to remove it. Somebody passed away in your house and you want to remove it, so she made a tomb in the house and so on and so forth. You'd rather the person never die in the first place. And because it's a bad happenstance, therefore it's called a malacha she'ein atzich l'gufa. When you're cooking something, and obviously you can say, oh, I never wanted to cook, it should have been ready in the first place. That's not normal. There's nothing wrong with food being raw. Here, something, disadvantageous happened, and therefore you're trying to remedy something. So it's a malacha she'ein atzich l'gufa. You'd rather have not had it to be do it in the first place. That's the definition of malacha l'gufa. Anyway, either one holds your chai, this Rabbi Yehuda. Chen kezayis min ha-meis, again, you want to remove a kezayis of a meis, or kezayis min ha-velo kadosh, or lentim ha-sheretz. All these cases, chai, even though it's from the gufa, you want it out of the house, you don't want it. You chai. And Abshimon holds potter. Second, we're talking about, we learned, ha-meitzi oichlin kishir, if you carry food out the right quantity, im bekli, if it was sitting inside the utensil, chayovin ala oichlin, you are chayiv on the food, Upata ala kli. You are exempt from carrying the kli again because the kli is secondary to the food. It's all about the food. That was the primary purpose of what you're taking it out. However, the im hoya kli tzarich loy chayiv. If you need both the food and the utensil, you chayiv for both. Afala kli. Shmaminor, Navuchayda, you're carrying them both out in the same time, and let's say you need both things, and we're charging you with two different averis. So it sounds from here, Oichol Shnei Zeisei Chayla Behel Mechod, if you eat two kazesim of treif in one go, chayiv shtayim, you commit two avedas. Here you did one malach of carrying, and yet we're charging you with two avedas, one for the food and one for the pot. So if you ate two, and they're both the same malach, hoitzah. So if you ate two pieces of chaylev, two kazesim of chaylev, you should be chayiv as well. If you ate two pieces of chaylev, you should be chayiv as if you are, you'd committed two separate avedas. Omer Avsheshes, says Avsheshes, no proof. Over here, you know what we're talking about here? It's different. Over here, we're talking about going, you're right, if you carried food and the keli, you're not going to be chayv too. It's one aveda. Here, we're talking about going, shogag ala oichlin, the hazed ala kli. You did a shogig on the food. You didn't realize you're not going to carry the food. You thought it's so small, it's tougher to the keli, but you're amazed on the keli. You're amazed on the keli. And therefore, when it says over here, you're chayiv for the kli, it doesn't mean you're chayiv a second carbon. It means you're chayiv misa for the keli. Which is a little bit difficult to understand. Because the whole idea of a shegig, you bring a karma chatas, is had you known that it was an aveda, you wouldn't have done it. But here, he clearly proved to us that he doesn't care it's an aveda. Vaharaya, on the pot, he knows you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, and yet b'mezid is carrying it. So you think if you told him that the food is obviously you're not allowed to carry, he would stop? So where is the shegig here that you bring a karma chatas? It's a bit difficult to understand. The taste is another thing to talk about. It says the Gemara, Maskel Rav Ashi asks, V'afala kliktani, how can you, it says here that you're not only liable for the food, you're also liable for the keli. Sounds like they have the exact same punishment, same aveda, and you're saying it's two different avedas. This is a shagig, this is amazed, here's chatas, here's death. El Rashi, shogag bazeh bazeh. You made a shagig in both. Now, what happened was, first you became aware that you did a shagig on the food, and then you became aware of shagig on the keli. Remember, we had before a machlek b'richon ishlakish, plukta b'richon ishlakish. We had a machlek before a b'richon ishlakish, if you dias mechalkos, according to Rabbi Yechanan, if you found out you did two avedas in one go, you ate two different kazesim of chelim, you found out about one, and then okay, you can do tshuva, even though you didn't set it aside yet. And then you found out about the other, it's two different kabbanas. And Ishlakish says, no, if you just found out, it's still one aveda. And then we, however, finally come to conclusion, but if you set aside an animal for one, and then you found out about another one, everyone holds that even then we had a machlekes. It's only if you brought the carbon for one, then we say that for sure, you have to then bring a carbon for another one. You weren't aware of it then. But so that's what we're talking about over here when the Braisa says that if you found out that if you did the keli as well as the food, you bring two different ones. Talking about a case where you found out you became aware of one aveda and then later became aware of another aveda. So that's finishes.